You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two no-waste nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
On Hastings Streets in the centre of Napier, you'll find Hapu, a takeaway bar with a bit of a difference, serving healthy food from ingredients bursting with integrity. In August 2017, we spoke with co-founder Greta Carney after we whisked her away from the kitchen on a pretty busy sunny morning to learn a bit about the philosophy behind Hapu, what it means to share and eat food that has integrity, and how Hapu manages to reduce waste while serving food to take away.
He kai, he rongo, he rongo, he kai. Our food is our medicine. So everything that we eat every day is medicine. And it acts in a way, it acts to uphold the well-being of our body. There's nothing that we do that doesn't impact upon us. Conversation is a medicine, or a kai. So a kai is anything we put on the outside of our bodies, so a cream. A kai is something we read. A kai is something we watch. Anything we ingest through any of our senses is essentially a kai. And any kai is essentially can be our medicine.
Okay, so Hapu is essentially, it's a takeaway bar. So we took over an old fish and chip shop somewhere that had been like a fish and chip takeaway bar in the middle of Napier for decades, like maybe three decades. And we've turned it into what we call a clean kai co-op, which basically means we serve fast and really super healthy and tasty food. The genesis of Hapu was actually Fleur Dufresne and I established the business, and we're both health practitioners. So I was practicing as a homeopath. Fleur's a trained naturopath, but we're both cooks. And I think the guts of it was that I was dissatisfied in my homeopathic practice, in the sense that I felt there was another chunk that I needed to achieve. This is me personally. And it's around food as medicine. And so Hapu was essentially created as an exploration of how our food can be our medicine. And so that's what we basically set out to do every day, is operate a health practice, but we're cooking.
That's really interesting to talk about food as medicine, because I think often, you know, when we look at food and health, we talk about foods that you shouldn't eat, or foods that will maybe may allow you to maintain a state of healthiness, but we don't often talk about foods as maybe healing, using that language. And another thing we noted on your website, you talk about how at Hapu you believe there's not necessarily any one right way to eat. So how do you reconcile the idea of food as healing, but also trying to fit many people's aspirations for what they'd like to eat? And
well, it's holism, essentially. Like, well, firstly, there's non-judgment. Like, that's huge. That's a really important value that I hold and try to uphold in my life, or work towards upholding. And, you know, I see the minute we say one way of eating is the right way, the place I've got to at the moment is it's a bit like saying there's one God. Like, we don't like it when people say that. So why should it be okay to say there's only one way of eating? Obviously, for me, I've got a really big background in organics, so chemicals are not kai. So the whole idea with food, he kai, he rongo, he rongo, he kai. Our food is our medicine.
So everything that we eat every day is medicine. And it acts in a way, it acts to uphold the well-being of our body. There's nothing that we do that doesn't impact upon us. And the kaumātua I worked with also talked about, you know, a conversation is a medicine, or a kai. So a kai is anything we put on the outside of our bodies, so a cream. A kai is something we read. A kai is something we watch. A kai is a conversation. Like, anything we ingest through any of our senses is essentially a kai. And any kai is essentially can be our medicine. But then, of course, you know, we're not necessarily conscious in what we're choosing to consume. So in that regard, everything, you know, there's no reason why anything that we eat can't have a profound impact on us if it's been created with a certain intent for that to be the outcome. Yeah, I mean, we just want to respect everybody's choices. We really staunch, you know, a chemical, like MSG, is not kai. It's not a food. It's not traditionally a food. It's been added into our food, but it doesn't have a cultural history of being food, just like the chemical, you know, the colours that go into food. You know, is that food? Well, no, I don't consider it to be food. But people have, I mean, throughout the world, there's an enormous diversity of food cultures, and we need to respect that. And also within people's healing processes, like as a health practitioner, you know, for some people, being raw for a certain period of time is an incredibly effective way to restore health. But having said that, maybe to be raw for a longer period of time, like, can then become detrimental. So therefore, in any one time place, there is a solution that's specific to that time place individual. It's called the individualization of health. And for some people, a bone broth detoxification is going to be the most effective thing for their body. But for another person, that's totally inappropriate. We have to be really flexible. And to my understanding of health is that fluidity and that flexibility and that adaptability. So we're robust and resilient when we're adaptable. Yeah. And the biggest real concern then with the kai, so we provide, you know, meat and we have vegetable, you know, all sorts of things. We're vegan, we're paleo, we're raw. It's the integrity of the food. So that's the underlying thing. Is that food high in integrity? Where's that kai come from? What is the story of that kai? And is that story full of integrity, or is there bits where there's gaps in the integrity?
It seems like Hapi is really inspired by the Hua Parakore movement, and we're just interested if you could explain to our listeners what that is and how that's inspired what Hapi is doing.
I was just very privileged to be involved with the Hua Parakore project. I was at an organics conference, I was working in organics, and the Kaumatua chairman of Te Waka Kai Ora, Percy Tepene, kind of pointed at me and like gestured for me to come over to him, and he was like, hey, do you want to work for us? And I was like, sure. And I, you know, I knew nothing, and so everything that I've learned, I mean, I had instinct and I had a sense of value that he obviously saw. But I was really involved in the Hua Parakore project, and it's essentially a kaupapa Māori kind of a kaupapa Māori way to produce food. So the idea being that essentially all cultures were once producing kai with food with integrity. So Hua Parakore is about is a framework by which we identify an integrity based process. And Hua Parakore itself is specific to Māori and the cultural story and history and identity that is that is Māori. But it's not to say that the framework can't be or the method or the idea can't be picked up by any culture. We all have connection, some closer than others, to our cultural roots, which we're all inherently integrity people with, you know, no chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
No chemicals and, you know, a really good understanding of what made us well from a mental, spiritual, physical perspective. So the guts of Hua Parakore, we established Hapi under the Hua Parakore principles, or the framework, which is essentially Ngā kaupapa, establish your values. What are the values that you want to manifest? Values come from outside of yourself. They're not things that, they're things that are inherent in the world, God-given, you might say. From the values come Ngā tikanga, or the practices, the things that we do to maintain and uphold those principles or those values, Ngā kaupapa. And then from that comes Ngā hua, our outcomes. And our outcomes are essentially the physical manifestation of those values that we chose to align ourselves to, that we chose to manifest in our in what we do. So, and you know, for us, our outcomes, you know, are hugely people related. Really, they're about the well-being of our workplace and everybody in the workplace, the way we get on, the relationships we have with the people who come through the door, and yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's the guts of what we do, is about trying to create a really safe, harmonious environment where we bring in only the highest integrity kai, you know, within reason, because we want our food to be affordable, and produce it with care and with good intent.
It's amazing, and it really sounds like it's a very holistic view of serving people, I guess, and creating a space for health and for people to come in. And one other thing we noticed when we were looking at the website was
the principle of whānaunatanga really is really important to hapi, and it sounds like that sort of fits into to the whole philosophy as well.
I was listening to a podcast with Philip Pullman yesterday. Yeah, I love Philip Pullman. He said, I think that, what was the question? But anyway, his answer was around the meaning of life is about our relationship with other people or with others. And I think the more I grow in my understanding of what I believe, it's about relationship. So the integrity and the quality of the relationship. And so, yeah, that's kind of the guts of what we try to do. Everything comes from that.
Being more closely connected to your source of kai is one way of reducing waste, so growing your own food or shopping locally and that kind of thing. But in terms of the Hua Parakore movement, there's this idea that actually being more closely connected to food also increases your food sovereignty, so it's a political act. And do you see what you're doing here as political or sort of taking back food in a way?
I mean, everything's political.
Yeah.
The personal is the political. Everything's a political act. I think I spend a lot of time being really angry and seeing things negatively. Mm. And I think what Hua Parakore helped me to understand is that there is actually infinite possibility. So when we work from a spiritual perspective, where we have a faith in something outside of ourselves, there's a potential that's created that doesn't exist in a reductionist approach. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's jumping paradigms, it's jumping ships. Reductionist is constantly minimizing and negating and categorizing. And a holistic, what I believe, a truly holistic approach is actually infinite, is of infinite potential. I interviewed an amazing organic farmer whose name is escaping me right now, years ago, and he talked about there's a farm program, like a computer program, where they map their inputs and then the outputs get shot out and they get told, you know, what they need to put in. Anyway, he was joking about how the rep had come, because they had to come because he was part of Fonterra at that point. He was an organic farmer. And essentially when they put all of his inputs in, he should have been sitting on a mine. But he wasn't, because he was an incredible organic farmer who had a biological system that was creating energy, it was creating potential, it was creating creating matter, you know? I think that we've been really, we've all been really schooled in a reductionist framework, but actually the potential of, there's an infinite potential in every day and in every moment to manifest something remarkable. You just kind of have to believe in it. So I guess what I'm trying to say, without sounding like a complete space, is that I don't really want to work in a negative framework anymore. So yeah, happy is about representing something positive. Everybody's welcome. We don't want to be exclusive. We're super friendly. We don't want to judge anybody in our community. We don't consider ourselves healthy. We are just all, every one of us, in a continuum somewhere of an aspiration of health. You know, we've got an aspiration of the kind of health we want to have in our lives, but none of us have got that. So we're not pretending to be anything special, but we are committed to representing something within our community. And it's what's been remarkable. What's been truly remarkable is actually how well we've been received and how well supported we are.
Fantastic.
And how people really value having us in the community. Like, Napier's a little town and people really, really value us. And that's been enormously kind of surprising and satisfying.
Well, I mean, you just have to set foot in the takeaway bar to see that it's not really that surprising, because it's amazing. Your food is absolutely delicious. It's beautiful what you're doing, so I think that's why you've been very supported.
We really care about how things taste. I mean, that's, you know, at the end of the day, it's got to taste good.
Of course.
Because when it tastes good, we feel good. And when we feel good, we treat each other well, and we feel good about ourselves. You know, it's like, it's actually really simple.
Yeah. And you can make amazingly healthy food taste really good too, you know. It doesn't doesn't have to be deep fried and all this
kind of
stuff.
And if it doesn't taste good, then my God, you've got to have a really good reason to be eating it. Like green smoothies, they're the one thing. I'm like, well, yeah. It's nice when you first try a green smoothie, it doesn't taste that great, but your body then starts to crave it. And yeah. then it will start tasting really, you know, it's those yeah. bitter principles and yeah. some of the flavours that we've become unaccustomed to. Mm. But nah, it's got to taste good. And it's got to feel good. And that's, yeah. I think, the guts of... We want people to walk out feeling good. So whatever happens in here, we want everyone to have a good experience. And if they don't, then we try and make it right. Mm. Don't, you know, it's all goodwill. I think that's a huge currency between people.
With your food that you're making, do you try and use some sort of native New Zealand plants or ingredients or anything like that? Or and what kind of... what are your, some of your signature dishes or foods? Or
yeah. Well, we don't in the shop here. We don't use so much natives, but indigenous ingredients. But we do. I do have a background in doing that. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of work with Te Matau Māui, which is the ocean voyaging waka here in Hiratonga, Hawke's Bay, and I would always be doing, like, I've had to learn a lot. Like, people have taught me things, and mm-hmm. so it's kind of just a practice that I've just grown as I've learned new things. And I worked with a woman, Ty Nelson, who is an Oumua yeah. practitioner. Yeah, and she is, she and I, you know, produced some amazing food together with things like using rimu and kahikatea pepper as a seasoning for beef,
wow.
and making a Miro Negroni, and making, like, you know, some beautiful. You know, there's a totally kind of unrealized potential yeah. of using our native ingredients, our native plants to inform our food. It's
yeah.
like, and the whole point of that is about connection. So it's like when we use them to inform our food, we create a connection with the forest, and then that informs our thinking. You know, it's all really subtle stuff that we can't really measure, but it
yeah.
deeply informs the way we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're really big on that. But in the shop, oh, we do like, I think a big part of the kai we do here is around the cultured cashew cheeses, which are like, basically, yeah, they're like a cream cheese made out of cashew nuts, but they've been cultured with a probiotic.
Mm.
And they're delicious. And so we do like a chicken chipotle sandwich. So everything we do in the shop is gluten-free and dairy-free and cane sugar-free, except we do coffee, because coffee is such a social thing, and we have organic milk for the coffee. And we use Hawthorne's coffee, organic roast, beautiful coffee. But in the cabinet, everything's gluten and dairy and cane sugar-free. So even though we have meat in the cabinet, we don't use any butter or cream or milk or cheese. So this cultured cashew cheese is really important because it adds a whole level of flavour that people love. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, will eat the vegan sandwich. They're not vegans, but they love it. You know,
yeah,
so we're really
introducing
a lot of people to all the desserts are raw and vegan. The cake, the baking's paleo, so we use eggs in the baking, but it's all dairy free. We do this amazing paleo cake with like cashew and almond meal, and it's chocolate banana, like cacao banana, and we fill it with whipped coconut cream.
Oh,
and
so good!
Yeah, that's great.
Sorry for the listeners that you can't. You'll have to come to Napier.
You come to Napier.
Obviously, you're a takeaway bar, and so the question that would come up for Liam and I is, how do you manage the challenge of being a takeaway bar, providing people with fast, convenient food, and the waste side of that? So the packaging, and what are some of the things that you've done to try and minimize your footprint in that respect?
It's a really good question. So when we opened, it was a big deal because we've only got a takeaway license, so it's not an option for us to have sit down or have plates. We're not authorized to do that. It's a takeaway bar, so everything has to be in takeaway packaging, and the seats are for waiting, they're not for eating it. So it was a big deal for us because we totally abhorred the idea of creating a whole lot of packaging waste. So everything that we use is compostable, and we were the first in Hawke's Bay to take advantage of this amazing service which Waste Management Services are providing in association with BioRich, which are the big composting facility. And we basically have a compostables bin all of our packaging goes in that's left here at the shop goes into that bin, and it goes to the composting facility. So that's a big deal, and that's huge for us. And then I guess we recycle our plastic milk bottles. We're collecting our lids, our metal lids, with the intention of taking them to the metal recyclers. I mean, we produce rubbish, but most of our packaging, like the actual food packaging, is not something that ends up in a landfill.
Do you encourage people to bring back their takeaway stuff to compost here? Because individuals, I guess, don't have access to that picker.
No, I suppose we could probably communicate that better. I mean, we let people know when we're doing catering that it's compostable packaging that they're getting, and we should probably be clearer. To be honest, I think that the local city council here and probably around the country need to really step up. I mean, we don't even have recycling, like municipal recycling collection. We don't even need space here to store plastic bottles, or, you know, we don't even have for a bin. Like, if we want to have it, we have to have a bin on site. There's no curbside recycling.
Do you welcome people bringing their own reusable cups and containers to take away their food if they want to?
Of course. Yeah, we totally welcome that. And people, like, after doing that Pecha Kucha, I thought about what the waste we produce. Like, all of the things we actually produce ourselves go into glass. You know, like, our glass. And people are constantly bringing back our glass jars and our glass bottles.
So people can do that as well?
Oh, yeah, totally. People do that all the time. And people bring their own keep cups, so we're happy to serve, you know, broth, and we do, you know, coffees and those. And a lot of people don't want packaging. There's always a conflict between manaakitanga and that. Like, I don't like the idea of someone leaving without a napkin and without their food, kind of in a way that feels presentable. Like, when people at the market want to put their jar straight into their purse, I'm kind of like, I struggle with that. They're putting it into a food bag, and that's kind of, I guess, tikanga-based stuff. But at the end of the day, I think if there's the facilities there for us to get everything to the right place, you know, compost, you know, recycling, then
there's many things
it's definitely something that I'd like to just keep working on. And a big thing I do is I constantly work with our suppliers to minimise the waste we receive.
That's a really big thing to
That's
do
huge.
Well. Yeah.
Like, when they send us the chickens in individual bits, I'm just like, emailing back, please, you know, next order, I basically specify it the whole time, please, unpackaged, bulk packaging. Because that's just heartbreaking when someone says,
and it's passing on the waste.
Yeah, totally. It's just totally unnecessary. We just need a box of that stuff, like 40 individual packages. Please don't do that to us.
And that's good. That's great that you have those conversations, because those are behind the scenes things that, you know, could easily fall under the radar if people don't bring it up with their suppliers.
Yeah, I think it's a big one. And I think that after considering our plastic and working out where our plastic lies, which is in our bulk products, you know, there are some just quietly starting to work with suppliers. When you do work with suppliers and work on them and not tolerate or accept it, but also, like, really name the bits that they can develop. So actually, you can do better than this. We can all do better than this.
This is exactly our experience with Living Zero Waste. It's actually having the time to have those conversations, particularly with smaller businesses and local suppliers. It's a slow process, but going hand in hand and having the conversations is such an enriching thing for everyone. And it does make change.
Yeah.
And in a positive way, avoiding, like, you know, defensiveness and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the thing, eh? And that's, at the end of the day, I just had this realisation. I just don't want to argue with anyone anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't want to argue. It's like, the argument is in contesting reality. But actually, I know what my reality is, and I don't need to argue with you about yours. I can share you mine, and if you don't, you know, that's fine. You have your reality, but I'm going to sit here very clearly with mine. And
that's beautiful.
I've done it for years. I don't want to do it anymore. And I don't know, I'll try it. I'll see how it goes. I'm sure I'll have an argument with someone at some point. I'm really just over it. I feel like it's done. Drinking, when you decide to stop drinking, it's like, I've been there, I've done that. It's done. I've done enough of that. I just want to get on and do, you know?
Yeah, and it is an amazing thing that you're doing, you know, Happy. It's a beautiful place, providing beautiful food, and we're just really
privilege to speak to you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to sit in the sun with us.
It's been so lovely to sit in the sun. And you guys are doing such a good job. Good luck with all your travels.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.